Saturday night, the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra presents Sounds of the Season. And this year, the special guest is flutist Sarah Anden. And the program is being co-produced by Robert Townsend with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. And Robert Townsend and Sarah Anden are both here in our studio this morning. Thank you for braving the Michigan weather to be here. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Kara.
Lovely to be here.
Thank you. You are hailing from California, am I right?
Yes, Los Angeles, sunny, balmy Los Angeles. And it's very exciting to come to a winter wonderland here. I really feel the spirit of Christmas the moment I stepped off the plane. It's beautiful.
Did you even know what to pack? Did you look forward to maybe buying a stylish new 40 below coat?
Well, I was thinking I'm probably mostly going to be inside, except for transporting around. But I did bring my most heavy clothes just to be on the safe side, and it just seemed to be working out perfectly.
Let me tell listeners a little bit about you as a performance artist. You wear many hats, as a matter of fact. Principal flutist in the Redlands Symphony.
Yes.
You work as a concert artist, bringing special arrangements written for you to orchestras around the country and beyond.
Yes.
And then there's some Hollywood stories, because you can be heard on many, many, many soundtracks at this point. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I feel very fortunate to be in the recording studio world in Los Angeles. It's so such a rich history there in Hollywood, and to get to join the ranks of generations of just phenomenal musicians and the historic epicness of it all, it's almost overwhelming to get to be a part of that. So, for example, Jungle Book, the recent movie Jungle Book, there's a lot of wonderful flute solos and bass flute solos that I got to be a part of. And a couple of the last Fast and Furious movies, believe it or not, have flute.
And you would be surprised.
Yes,
you know, some of the best flute parts
can be
with movie titles that do not say,
yes,
this is a flute movie.
Exactly. And very exciting, you know, very active, flourishy passages that require a lot of good sight reading ability, because 99% of the time you don't get the music ahead of time. And so all those years practicing scales and arpeggios in a practice room for this moment, where now that all that paid off, you know, to be able to come in and sight read this music. And then one of the most recent horror flicks that very, very good movie, actually, I still I have it on my list to go see because I'm still a little afraid, but it's the movie It, about the very scary clown.
I haven't seen it either, I'm afraid.
But there's a very prominent flute solo in this scene where there's a painting of a flutist, and it's very creepy. But a lot of people wrote to me saying, is that you? As a big flute solo. And I said, yes, believe it or not, in a horror movie, a flute solo is actually featured. So that was really exciting.
Well, can you tell me how you and Robert Townsend became friends and maybe worked on some projects together?
Yes. You know, it's such a wonderful story, because it's true, you know, in so many cases of artists meeting major people in the business, where that opens up a new relationship for great opportunities for collaboration. I was playing solo flute with one of the great regional orchestras in Los Angeles called the California Philharmonic, and we were performing at Disney Hall, one of the great halls in Los Angeles. And Robert happened to be in the audience, and that's where he first got to hear me. They were doing a beautiful suite of Carmen from the opera Carmen, and a lot of prominent flute solos, as we know, one of the most gorgeous operas ever written. And that really caught his attention, and with his wonderful division of the record label that he does, it's called Verez Live, that he's been producing so many live concerts throughout the world for many, many years, and been really, really ramping it up as of these last few years, which he'll tell you about. they're looking for soloists to be featured, and this really caught his attention, and I was just so fortunate to be at the right place at the right time. And
you heard the sound you wanted.
Oh, absolutely. And it was very exciting. Of course, the conversation that led to following the concert, and Sarah started telling me a little more about, you know, some of the scores that she had played on. And she said, oh, I work with Marco Beltrami and recently recorded The Thing. And I said, oh, really? I've been working with Marco since his first score, and I released the album for The Thing. And then she mentioned Rolf Kent and his a score that he had written, and I said I did that one too, and
you know all the same people.
And so there were like three in a row of the most recent sessions that Sarah mentioned, and I had released all the albums, and so it just led to more conversations, and then you know, shortly after that, we were talking, you know, about the classics and Bernard Herrmann, and of course, you know, now even to the concert this weekend, which includes music of the great Bernard Herrmann. So anyway, we just bonded over music and discussing particularly the flute in context with, you know, the ideas of what I try and bring to concerts is to really kind of freshen up the repertoire and add to the repertoire, because I'm in a unique position of having all my best friends be composers, you know, just the nature of kind of what I do and how prolific I am getting to work with so many of the greats. And so I, you know, when I invite my composer friends to be part of the concerts that I produce, I really encourage them to not just take a cue from a score necessarily that they have written and perform it on stage, but to really rethink and reimagine the music, to transform it from the way it existed in the film, mm-hmm. to being a truly, you know, composed, well-conceived concert suite.
Yeah, a standalone concert piece.
A standalone. And that's
going to show off some qualities.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And so it's a great opportunity for the composers and, of course, the soloists.
Robert, I'd like to take a little trip away from tomorrow night's concert, which I will say, tomorrow night's concert is in Chenery Auditorium at 8 o'clock, and full details are at kalamazoosymphony.com. Robert, your job description, your job, is one that most of us haven't even heard of and can't really understand. Both producing live events and working as not a primary musician, but as a producer.
A film music producer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Could you talk about what your job is?
Absolutely. Well, it's very diversified. It covers a range, and in large part, the reason it does that is because it's kind of been a self-made role that I have crafted for myself. I grew up, you know, discovering the sounds of a great symphony orchestra through the film music being written by Jerry Goldsmith and John Williams in the late 1970s. And I was a kid like other kids, you know, all over the world, going to see Star Wars and Superman and Alien and Star Trek. And that's what was the original spark that captured my interest. And then that led to my becoming, you know, even at that age, kind of frustrated by the soundtracks and scores that were not being released commercially, which then was the inspiration for me to create my own record label and to not wait for someone else to produce the albums I wanted, but to, you know, when you're that young and kind of naive about how things work and you don't realize that you don't just call up 20th Century Fox or Jerry Goldsmith and say, let's make an album.
I want to release
this score. Not realizing that you don't do it. I just did that.
And mind you, he was 18.
And it's extraordinary that that you didn't just take in the movie as given, but you part of your mind was actually paying attention to the skillfulness and the art that the music brought to it.
Absolutely. And
did you have musical training?
No, not
just good was listening.
Not, yeah, was not musically trained at the time at all, and And to this day, I'm, you know, of course, you have the power of the music itself that captured my attention and sparked the passion. But then coupled with that, once it got to the point when I was really starting to think about, can I do this myself? I'm so forever grateful to particularly a great French composer, Georges Delerue, who was so famous, worked with all, you know, scored all of the François Truffaut films. My very first recording session of all time was with Georges Delerue recording his Agnes of God score with the Toronto Symphony in 1985, and then also Jerry Goldsmith. And my first album with Jerry was The Final Conflict, the third Omen film. And at the time, you know, I'm originally from the Toronto area in Canada. And so we were in starting to work over the telephone. So I think he knew I was young, but not necessarily I was as young as I was. And so that, you know, we did the first album in that context. And then I came to Los Angeles and met him and we started working on our second album together. But by that point, the first album was already out. It did so well. The reviews were so wonderful. And he was just so supportive of me. And so it was kind of that encouragement by Jerry Goldsmith and Georges Delerue that really, they were kind of the ambassadors for film music and welcomed me into the industry.
Well, traditionally, the film composers have been put on a different tier, maybe you call it a lesser tier, than concert music composers, even though there were greats like Bernstein and Copland that crossed over and were perfectly happy to do so. So I think it works both ways. They needed you as well to be putting the spotlight on modern scores, some of which are very modern.
Well, exactly. I mean, so modern and so just far-reaching. I mean, another of the greats that I was so lucky to work with closely was Alex North, who wrote scores like A Streetcar Named Desire and Spartacus and Cleopatra. And if you listen to a score like Cleopatra today, he was so out there in 1963 that in some ways we haven't caught up with him yet. It was more groundbreaking at the time where things are in many ways more traditional all these decades later.
So funny where people won't go to a concert because they don't want to hear atonal music, but they've heard it so often in great film scores.
Exactly. Yeah. And of course, you know, the connection between, you know, the concert hall and film is much more organic than it gets credited for, because the early film composers were all European immigres, and you had Eric Korngold, who was a wunderkind in Austria, writing operas and having his early concert works from as early as when he was 11 years old, being premiered by Bruno Walter. And there's a famous cartoon from the cover of a Vienna newspaper, you know, when he was young, and it showed it amplified the youth of Korngold. It showed him as a baby sitting in a high chair at a piano, surrounded by the grand old men of Richard Strauss, Gustav Mahler, and Puccini, you know, with their glasses down on their noses, looking very quizzically at the young
prodigy.
Yeah, the prodigy. And Korngold, you know, you go through his entire career where, you know, he was a wunderkind in Germany, writing these incredible operas and concerti and symphonic works, then moved to Los Angeles because of the war and thanks to The Adventures of Robin Hood, which he originally turned down and then rethought and accepted when his home was literally being invaded. And
this
he took this to save his family.
Perfect escape, yeah.
And so then he, you know, from The Adventures of Robin Hood, The Seahawk, you know, so many classic scores he wrote over the years, then kind of returned or tried to return to writing concert works towards the end of his life, mm-hmm. sadly died feeling that his life's work had been for naught because he was now, you know, the classical community of Europe was looking down on him because he had, you know, in their minds sold out and gone to Hollywood.
Yeah.
But now, you know, all these years later, during his Hollywood years, and he wrote his classic violin concerto with Yascha Heifetz, mm-hmm. and that has been part of what's spawned a renaissance of Korngold's work and, you know, the other composers of the time, Miklos Rozsa, a great Hungarian composer who wrote Ben-Hur, also has a violin concerto for Heifetz. It's a deep connective story.
But for them at the time, they just felt like they hadn't fulfilled the promise that the bargain they had made with the classical music critics and
exactly.
and peers, and that they would mm-hmm. They would be serious.
And the irony is, of course, you know, you have the it reminds us how close even the classical era is to us today, where my predecessor at Varese Saraband Records was Eric Korngold's son, George, who was a producer. And then you have Eric Korngold himself, the legendary composer. And then his father was Dr. Julius Korngold, who was this legendary music critic in Austria at the time, who knew Brahms.
Yeah, he dictated the tastes of
Look how close that really is.
Yeah. Well, we had a very nice diversion there, I must say. But let's refocus back mm-hmm. on tomorrow night's concert. Robert, you are behind the scenes, but bringing a lot of the original music that no one has ever heard in this region before to the concert. And Sarah, you are the flute star of tomorrow night's program. Mm-hmm. How long have you worked together? It was since, was it the late, you said Disney Hall, so I know that was built sometime in the late 90s, I think.
Yeah. So working with Robert, yes, that would have been 2013.
Oh, okay.
So it's really not that far. It's really been relatively recent. Good. Over the, you know, the idea of a large span of time is actually very recent.
Well, what can you tell me about this version of the Charlie Brown Christmas suite that features you?
Yes, this is so exciting because, you know, we all grew up with the incredible TV special, which I believe now is 52 years mm-hmm. old, and, you know, plays every year for all the families and kids, and we're all familiar with the wonderful jazz version of Vince Guaraldi, the piano and
jazz trio.
Bass, yeah. And it's been reimagined by the great William Ross, who's one of the major Hollywood arrangers and composers. He's arranged so much for Barbara Streisand and Michael Bublé and Jackie Evancho and just you name it. His name is on so many of the Andrea Bocelli.
Yeah.
And he's also a composer of many film scores himself. He took this work and transformed it into choir and orchestra and solo flute. And there's basically three movements to it, all really put together as through composed work, starting with Christmas Time Is Here, that beautiful da da na da na dee doo doo doo. That's so beautiful. And then it goes into a jazz waltz of Skating. And in the middle of that is a wonderful opportunity for free improvisation that I get to just go to town with the jazz flute. And it's just a real fun moment of creativity that I get to join in as far as the creative aspect of it, and just have a ball with being free on the ice with, so to speak, with the flute. And then it comes back into a more solemn moment of O Christmas Tree, where it's the choir singing a cappella, and then the orchestra joins in to a big finale of Christmas Time Is Here, and just with the flute with a beautiful sailing obbligato on top. And it's just a heartwarming arrangement that is really, really brilliant. And one extra brilliant thing, without the drums that's in the original trio, because we actually the original performance of this didn't have room for a set drum set. Mm-hmm. So he made the rhythm with sleigh bells. So that's like the rhythm section with the bass and piano. Yeah. So it was brilliantly, he solved a very major problem for such a piece that requires the drum set so much. So it was really, really amazing that Bill Ross just took that on and went crazy good with it.
I know that many listeners out there are fans of the Kalamazoo Children's Chorus.
Yes.
And that's the group that you'll hear tomorrow night in Chenery Auditorium. It starts at 8 o'clock, and tickets are available now at kalamazoosymphony.com. I don't believe that Robert, you've got around to releasing this on disc yet. But
not yet, but it's on the list.
And it's an exclusive arrangement. This is the only time you'll be able to hear it. It will be live tomorrow night. And in fact, I had to do a little digging, but there is a live concert performance I thought we could listen to at least part of.
Great.
And this is your performance.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I can't see the orchestra.
Yeah, the Golden State Pops, based in Los Angeles.
Okay. Well, let's take a musical break with flutist Sarah Anden and producer Robert Townsend. Well, forgive me for the dead air and the lack of the technology fail I'm currently experiencing, especially in front of my illustrious Californian guests. Well, Robert, you said you were originally from the Toronto mm-hmm. area, so you do know how to dress for visiting
Michigan. Absolutely, absolutely. It's been a while, but I still make it home for Christmas every year.
Well, as a radio announcer, I do have a backup plan, and that means we're going to fall back on Mr. Jimmy Galway.
Oh, that's fine.
Who I know you've met before.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. One of my great idols. I I love any opportunity to hear him,
okay,
recorded or live.
Well, forgive me. I'll keep working on the sound for from the video, but let's, in the meantime,
please
take a little rest with James Galway and Silent Night. He's here with the Royal Philharmonic and the BBC Singers, the Chapel Choir of King's School, Canterbury. James Galway is flutist and conductor.
Beautiful.
Well, Jimmy Galway saves the day here on WMUK. And I think we have some of the technical issues worked out. So the next thing we will hear is Sarah Anden herself. And we're back with a conversation with Sarah and Robert Townsend, the director of Varese Sarah Band.
Record producer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. producer. Yeah. And here with Sarah, who's the featured artist with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra's Sounds of the Season. Just to remind listeners, this concert includes flutist Sarah Anden, but also the Kalamazoo Children's Chorus, much like in the arrangement we just heard with the flute, voices, orchestra. Really, so much color and so much inventiveness that you can add to something like that. Daniel Breyer will be conducting, and there will be two of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra Youth Soloist Competition winners. tomorrow.
So wonderful. Yeah. Can't wait to hear them.
So one of them is Sava Velkov, who is a violist. I've heard her play before. She's an intense artist, really wonderful. And the other is the wonderfully outgoing and gregarious baritone Alex Smith, who is still 15 or 16. And he's singing, I think, a Mozart aria or something like a lot of variety in tomorrow night's program. Maybe we could talk a little more about specifically the flute showcase pieces. We talked a little about Charlie Brown. We'll come back to that. What else is on the program?
Yes, a wonderful Michel Legrand arrangement of Jingle Bells, a very virtuosic, fun arrangement of Jingle Bells that was premiered by Jean-Pierre Rampal.
Oh.
And written for him, actually. And it's...
Have you met Jean-Pierre Rampal?
I have.
You must have been very young.
Yes. In fact, one of my really first opportunities to hear a live flute recital, I think that was my first opportunity to hear when I was 10, Jean-Pierre Rampal, my father, had taken me to about a half-hour drive away from the small town I'm originally from, which is about an hour outside of Los Angeles, which is actually very different from Los Angeles. just an hour away. It's a whole other world. But small town, and he took me to Claremont Colleges, which is a beautiful college town, and they do a lot of beautiful music performances there. And Rampal was a guest artist there, and was so inspiring to me. I had just started flute the previous year in elementary school, fourth grade, and so brand new to the flute and what the flute was all about. And then hearing Rampal play, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm sold. I want to keep playing the flute. And so that was a really, really pivotal moment to hear him play. And then fast forward, you know, I have 3 degrees in music, and the final degree is from Yale, and I studied with Ransom Wilson, who's, you know, still major virtuoso flutist and conductor as well. Mm-hmm. And he is one of the very few actual students of Rampal. So I studied with him in Paris. And so I feel like I'm, in a way, the granddaughter in the lineage of Rampal. I feel very fortunate to be able to say that. So to get to play this Jingle Bells arrangement for the very first time, it's going to be the first time for all of us because it's a new arrangement with orchestra. So it's going to be brand new for us all. It's my first opportunity to play with it live with the orchestra. And so we're going to have a ball playing this joyous arrangement.
How hard is it, though? How hard is it to make the first 3 notes sound pretty? That's actually
it's a lot of pressure.
Challenge. The repetitiveness of the theme is almost something to be surmounted.
Yes, there's a lot of wonderful flashy scales that go in between a lot of those do-do-do's too. So a lot of notes to be played, but you'll hear the theme throughout, and it's joyous and just you feel like you're on the most wonderful sleigh ride. It's really fun.
You have also, along with all of the solo work and studio film work, have taken on students at University of Redlands, California. How long have you been a teacher?
Yes, I started just in general teaching when I was in high school, just to local young elementary school students, and really got a good start. And as I went through my own college degrees, when I finished Yale, the opportunity to audition for University of Redlands, which has the sister component of playing principal in the orchestra, because it's a professional orchestra that's in residence there, which is such a great opportunity for students too, because they have right on the campus a professional orchestra, which, by the way, our newest addition to that orchestra as of last year is Ransom Wilson. He's the new conductor. It's just like unbelievable.
Oh,
it's just
what a good life you have.
You know, he's one of the greatest musical minds of the world, and to have him now the conductor, I have to admit there's a little extra pressure on me now as principal, because I always think of being his student and just the you know, just mm-hmm. really striving, you know, as I always did as a student, to be the best I could be for him, because he's such an amazing artist. But to now collaborate on this level with one of my great mentors and continues to be an idol of mine, it's a great, great joy. And then so for my students, flute students, I'm just overjoyed that they have the opportunity, because I'm inviting him to do master classes as well. And so it's just flute heaven there.
And all cold flutists hear this. You can move to University of Redlands.
Yes. And there's opportunities for students by a very rigorous audition process. And they can become student substitutes at certain times for different concerts as well. And I just enjoy the teaching aspect of my career so much. It's so inspiring to me. And I feel like I learn so much every day as I teach this next generation. And so I'm very, very blessed to have that opportunity, along with the actual performance aspect of going out and doing the other things that I do. It's just a nice, well-rounded musical experience for me, that I just keeps building on each other.
You know, I usually don't ask this question about what kind of instrument and make and maker and all of that sort of thing, but I have been appreciating simply having chosen the flute lately. When I play in a pit orchestra and I see those around me struggling with reeds, and I can simply lift a beautifully carved, precious metal cylinder to my lips and blow, and it's all down to the embouchure shape of my inner column of air.
Yeah.
So I am a little more appreciative of this these days. What kind of instrument do you play?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. I really love what I'm fortunate to get to play these days. I am playing, it's actually a hybrid, but it's a mixture of a Powell and Haynes, which I'll describe. The body of the flute is a silver Powell that I bought from one of my other great mentors, Janet Ferguson, who was 22 years principal of the LA Philharmonic, and she played this flute in the Philharmonic for a good 15 of her 22 years, and gave me the first opportunity to buy it when she was wanting to sell it and get another Powell that she fell in love with. And so I was very fortunate to get her flute and continue her legacy in that way. And then I was experimenting with different head joints and found this Haynes 19.5 carat gold that just was a beautiful match for that body. And so I'm playing that combination right now.
The Haynes and Powell are two of the oldest and greatest names in handmade flutes. And I think they're both American companies?
Yes, both American, yes.
Which probably borrowed a bit from the French
companies. Yes, exactly.
Well, let's take another short break, and this time hear music from Charlie Brown, and then we'll wrap up with Robert Townsend and Sarah Anden and talk about all the other movie selections coming up in tomorrow night's concert.
Thank you.
Well, that's just a taste of one highlight from tomorrow night's program. If you tuned in during the music, that's an exclusive brand new arrangement of the Charlie Brown Christmas music, newly adapted for solo flute, children's choir, and orchestra. And you can only hear it tomorrow night at Chenery Auditorium when the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra presents Sounds for the Season, featuring soloist Sarah Andin, who will be performing the solo flute part. And that's who we just heard in a live recording. You described it very well, while transitioning through all the songs and then having a little moment to yourself to improvise.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yes, it's going to be something different. We'll see what comes to my fingers and my mind.
Robert Townsend is the producer of this concert and is basically spent his life being a catalyst for creative types to come together and have a format and a stage to present their music to the public. During the music, you spoke passionately about a piece by Bernard Herrmann, some of which we'll hear on tomorrow night's concert.
Yes, I'm so excited to present this this opening movement of Bernard Herrmann's score for a 1954 a television musical that was an episode of CBS's Shower of Stars, and it originally starred Frederick March as Scrooge and Basil Rathbone as Marley's ghost. And for this episode, Bernard Herrmann wrote a full musical, but in a classical sense, with original, you know, love duets and score and original carols and songs. And we'll be presenting the opening piece, which is called On This Darkest Day of Winter, which begins with solo flute and accompanying a vocal quintet and then joined by orchestra and choir.
Had this musical been basically banished to the mists of history?
Forgotten with the passage of time. It was an enormous hit at the time, you know, when he did it, when it premiered, and it was actually rebroadcast for the following three seasons. And then after that, it was just lost to time. And even Bernard Herrmann fans to this day, you know, where he's the legendary composer of Citizen Kane and Psycho and Vertigo and Taxi Driver and on, so, just so many classics. I mean, one of the great American composers. Even Herrmann aficionados are so often not aware that he has there is a Bernard Herrmann, A Christmas Carol. And so it's certainly one of my kind of goals to help this piece, this glorious piece, establish a place in Christmas concerts that I think audiences will just adore. We premiered it 5 years ago. We did the entire production in a stage adaption that I made, drawing on a Mercury Theater production that Orson Welles did of A Christmas Carol originally, that Bernard Herrmann was also involved with, and also drawing from the original play. And I created the presentation of an hour-long production that works just brilliantly as like the first half of a concert. And we presented the entire show with a cast of about 15 actors and singers doing the whole work 5 years ago in Los Angeles, which also featured Sarah Andin as the solo flutist in that piece. And so I'm so happy to bring a taste of that in this beautiful, beautiful piece called On This Darkest Day of Winter.
Daniel Breyer is the conductor of tomorrow night's concert, and he will have been working with you, Robert, to put the pieces into shape. They're all new to him, these arrangements. Mm-hmm. So what's some of the feedback you've received? And
it's been glorious. I mean, I was with Daniel at the wonderful Kalamazoo Christmas gala last night, celebration dinner and welcoming Sarah. He was telling me the response from the children's choir and how much they love the Bernard Herrmann piece because it's the most challenging. He said they love it because it's hard. And it's also, I mean, that just kind of warmed my soul because, you know, introducing the music of these masters and to have that in the hands of now a beautiful, amazing children's choir and the Kalamazoo Symphony. And the musicians, I saw a number of them last night as well, and they're so excited about the program because it's so fresh. So many pieces are new to the orchestra, new to the choir.
And certain to be new to the audience.
new to the audience, exactly, which is just the hallmark of kind of what my life's goal is all about in sharing music that I am familiar with and am passionate about with as large and as wide an audience as I can, introduce them to what I feel would be important and a new passion for them.
Have you yet written a book about your life's experiences yet?
Individually, certain topics, a very important early recording of mine was recording Alex North's unused score for 2001 A Space Odyssey, very famous. And so there was a big story to tell there. I've written a book about that. I wrote a book about Spartacus, which was my personal 1,000th album and is my favorite score to this day. And so as my 1,000th album, I did a deluxe box set, including new arrangements of the Spartacus love theme by legendary composers Dave Grusin and Lalo Schifrin and on and on. And so
I've
a book. And
just added something to my Christmas list. I'm so sorry to have to bring this to a close. It's been an absolutely fascinating hour here on WMUK. Sarah Anden, any last thoughts about tomorrow's concert? Are you fully ready to go?
Oh, I'm fully ready and so excited to share all this wonderful music with this beautiful audience and the incredible orchestra and choir. And it's a real honor and a thrill to be here. I'm very grateful for this opportunity.
And how about you, Robert?
And I'm so excited about Saturday night's concert and also just a new association that that I have made with the Kalamazoo Symphony. And so I'm looking forward to, kicking things off this weekend and a really exciting future, I think, of new collaborations to come.
Well, thanks to both of you. It's been a terrific hour here on WMUK Kalamazoo. We're going to join the Chicago Symphony Orchestra broadcast here a little bit in progress.